If you're built like that, then
just built different.
then you're good.
I don't think I can do that. I get sick every time I go to India. Every single time.
Yeah, I remember, and you had to take what, four Tylenols?
I was popping Tylenols like candy when at Chirag's wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that was crazy. And
Yeah, you were just like chilling in my room. I'm just like down
cough.
terribly,
Yeah.
like a
Dude,
fever.
the
And
medicine.
I popped like three, four Tylenols at once. You're just like, oh, you're gonna die. I'm like, I'd rather die at this
Yeah, I
point.
know. It didn't even help like that much.
It helped.
It
It
helped.
helped.
Okay. That's good. After, like, if you take the recommended amount for US, it won't help. Like, you gotta take
Bro,
double
I had to
that.
rally too. I had to
Yeah.
like,
Yeah.
we had to take care of so much stuff because we're the ones like kind of planning it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a bunch of shit. Like, there's the mosquitoes. Remember the mosquito net you had in your room? That shit was. You gotta have a net in a hotel, bro. Like, well, I'm not talking
Hotel.
about
That was a
camping.
shitty
I'm
ass
not talking
hotel.
about like camping outside in the wilderness.
That
It's in a hotel room.
was
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 714 podcast. This is my cousin, Rohan.
Hey, what's up, Sham? Glad
Yeah.
to be here.
I know. He's been on the podcast before.
With Hirsch and Neil, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's our other cousins, and that was on Zoom. But this is like the first time you're
In
here.
person.
Yeah. His brother's been on like multiple times though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good, cool guy. But yeah, man, we've known each other since,
I've not used since you were
yeah,
born.
since we were
Yeah,
born.
so
Yeah. There's not a memory, I don't think, like, I have very few memories after or before I met you. Like, that's, I could
yeah.
always
We
remember.
grew up
Yeah.
together. So.
Yeah, dude, it was,
Yeah.
we had some fun experiences, bro,
Fun
growing up.
childhood, for sure.
Yeah. I look back sometimes and think about, like, oh, I probably had at least 200 sleepovers at your house.
Oh,
Like,
yeah.
literally,
Oh, yeah.
it's crazy.
Those were hilarious.
Yeah, dude, that was so fun because we were just we literally went played outside. Like, these kids nowadays, I don't think they do
Not as
anything.
much
Like,
as us.
yeah,
Yeah, no,
we
we
were
were
outside literally every
a
day.
whole day too. 8, 12 hours.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
then we played. We had a your neighbors had a basketball court. You had a basketball hoop and shit. And then
Yeah.
I remember just every
In
kid's.
my track where I grew up, it was like we had just kids like our age all around, across the street,
Yeah, who's that
side
guy?
by side.
Fuck it. Like, the guy who lived right across, like Kobe, I think his name.
Colby,
Colby, yeah.
yeah.
That kid was cool too.
Yeah.
But then I remember those other
Connor,
three kids.
Cameron,
Who were those other three kids that lived on the right? Like,
Jacob, Jonah, Joshua.
yeah. Those kids were wild too. Every time I saw Jake, like that little one, he was with his shirt off all the time. That shit.
Just
That
3 years
shit
old,
was
3, 4 years old.
Yeah, now they're
That's funny.
probably grown up and shit.
Oh yeah, Jacob's like your age, or possibly.
Yeah, that was a wild time. How long ago was that, you think?
Well, I mean, I don't know, like 8 years ago when we were younger, we used to do that.
8 years, damn. Yeah, I mean,
Probably a bit sooner than that. Six years.
Yeah, it's that was probably the best times of childhood, is just being like around. Because sometimes, like, I used to ask my, like, sometimes I or one time my friend told me, like, he his cousins and his family don't really get along as good, and I was like, that can't be, because I was small and shit. So I was like, I thought everybody had the type of
Exactly,
family
yeah.
where like everybody comes
So
together
we're so lucky.
and we hang out a lot and we go on trips now and so much interaction
We go on
together,
vacation,
community. And when I heard him saying like his family, like even his parents don't get along as well, or they're divorced or some shit, I was like blown away, because I never even thought that was possible. Like, to me, my family's like the most important shit
yeah.
and
No,
everything.
that's totally true. Yeah, I'm literally, I consider myself like close. With, like,
yeah,
we have what you, I have what 10 cousins on our dad's side. Mm. We both have 10 cousins on our dad's side. So, I consider myself close with like all of them because we just spent so much time together growing up. So I know them so well. Very grateful for that.
I know.
Sure. It's like Hirsch. Like I'm the oldest, right?
Mm-hmm.
My brother's younger. Hirsch is like my older brother because we grew up like.
Dude, he used to like boss us around and shit. He still does that shit sometimes.
He tries to.
I remember Hirsch. In Denver on the last trip, Hirsch, he was like, dude, he's probably watching this shit, right? But
he'll watch it.
Yeah, he's on the last trip in Denver. He was like, oh. I think we were done with the party or whatever. Like, what they were eating downstairs, and they needed everybody to clean up and shit. He's like, "Hey, everybody, like, clean, hey, up,
you guys clean up, clean up." I'm gonna sit here.
I know. I told him to come down, and he didn't even come down.
He does it for fun.
Yeah. He's dope. But yeah, he was on the podcast last time. We were talking about the election and shit like that. But now we know. Joe Biden is in office, and I mean, he hasn't done shit though. Like nobody's even see. I haven't seen him on the news. Like I don't even watch the news. The news nowadays, though, especially like the liberal news, or you could call them liberal, the left, like left, CNN, those type of outlets for news. I think don't have shit to talk about. Like once Trump left, that's all they were talking about. That's their whole cycle to get views and clicks and all that shit.
I think CNN lost like millions of viewers after Trump left.
Yeah, that's all they had. Like literally.
I don't watch the news, so yeah. I don't really.
I don't either.
As much.
Yeah.
But no, it's that's.
But you could tell like the tension is down and like hating somebody like
that's actually a good thing though.
Yeah that's
good. I like that.
Yeah, and so I mean we have Biden now, which who knows what he's gonna do. I don't think it's gonna change anything. Like literally it's gonna be the same. That's what I've thought about politics and presidents, is like most of the time it just stays relatively the same. Nothing really changes.
It's hard to change policy.
Yeah you took political science in high school, right? Like
in college too.
Yeah
I took AP US history in high school, which is like kind of poli sci related.
Yeah, this man got a 5 on that test. I got a 4.
It's a
on
big
it
high school flex.
Yeah.
Near perfect score.
I know, that's good. I mean,
yeah,
I remember when I took that, I was waiting, you know how you wait in line to get in that room or whatever to take the test. I knew I was going to get at least a 4. Like it was a guarantee.
I expected to get a 5 because our pass rate, only one person didn't pass from our class.
Wow. That's crazy.
I still don't know who it is actually.
So at least the 3 are higher.
Our teacher was really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Our teacher was a water polo coach and U.S. history. Like that's only in high school that like their kids like, or their teachers like that. They're coaches.
Their teachers.
I think there was a track coach that was also a math teacher.
No, like so many.
It's so
high school.
So weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, but AP or history in general is a fun subject because you get to learn a lot
context.
About. Yeah. Learn a lot about what happened in the past. And not just for me, when I hear people say like they don't like history or they don't enjoy learning about it, I think they think history as something like with dates or something you got to memorize or what happened in the past. But how I look at it is directly with people, and that I realize that people lived during that time. And so I could understand similarities and differences, like even in, let's say, like Rome or some shit, like however that civilization started and the people that lived in it. That was probably one of the first times that people got to like relax and think. Like, you know, before that, or probably around the same time, people just had to hunt and survive and get food all the time. Like literally every single day, that's their main thing. They live like how animals live. Like it was on survival every single day. And then once like some civilization, I'm probably sure that wasn't the first civilization. There was Mesopotamia, and that's in the history books and stuff, but it was a time where a lot of great thinkers emerged because they had time to just relax. Like we take that for granted now that we have food readily available all the time, no matter what. Like that's for the population that lived before us, that was their necessity. Like that's what they did every single day. Now to us, that's the easiest part of life is getting food. I could just drive to any fast food place. Yeah. You know, you could go to McDonald's and buy something for a dollar and eat that, like, you know. Good. And so now I look at it and think, okay, so because they had that time to not worry about food or worry about nutrition, they got to think about shit and think of ideas, and so much art and culture developed during that time. Like
that's true.
That wouldn't have been possible if they weren't able to develop in a society that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's definitely a good viewpoint to look at it. It's really interesting to see how society has developed.
Yeah. I think that's one of the first ones where you could actually pinpoint these people and how they think and shit. Socrates and Plato and all these guys. Like you've probably been to the Colosseum and shit, right? Rome. Or yeah, you've been there. And you look at whatever's around there and
it's crazy.
It's insane to think that it's still there. Like some parts of it.
Yeah, some parts of the Colosseum are now like a museum.
Yeah, yeah. Walk through it. Yeah. I mean they definitely probably did some renovations, or not renovations, but restructured some shit so that it doesn't collapse on people. But other than that, it's pretty much open to public and people go in there and shit.
Yeah.
And it was a full ass city. Like before, how long was that? Rome? Like that Roman? I think it was like at least 1,000 or not 1,000.
Hundreds
of years ago. Yeah. So that's crazy. Yeah. And then you look at like the Mongols and shit and how they devoured 10% of the population, bro. That's crazy. Yeah. Dude, imagine like having such big of an impact that I think this is what happened is they decreased the carbon footprint of the entire earth by killing 10% of the population. What do you think about that? Bro.
Efficient but cruel.
Bro, just imagine. Like if you're just in this village, just chilling, like you're a rice farmer and shit.
Just comes and kills you,
bro. And they didn't take they were using bows and arrows. Like they didn't have guns. They run.
So it's not even an instant death.
Yeah. You get shot, bro.
You get shot in the arm. You get shot in the stomach.
And then you can't. Yeah. There's no hospitals. You just bleed out. That's crazy. Like that's fucking insane. And yeah, dude, that whole empire. How far did they get?
I don't know.
Pretty far, dude.
I don't know. I haven't really studied that, but it's crazy. They really did try to take over the world.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of people that tried, and not one person succeeded. I mean, you look at...
Napoleon.
Yeah, Napoleon. I haven't learned much about him. Do you know a lot?
Not a lot.
Not a lot. He's in the history books, but he's mentioned as... But maybe he's mentioned more, and I wasn't paying attention in class. But he was with France, right? I believe. And that was, yeah, that was hundreds of years ago now. And yeah, I haven't learned much about him, but he was a dictator or like ruler of sorts. And there have been a...
He's like a general.
Yeah, a lot of those people. I mean, in recent history, of course, Hitler and Stalin and all these different military guys that have basically tried to influence the world by taking something out of it. Like, they tried to change the world and not really change themselves, you know? Like, how did they think that, or how did Hitler think that erasing a population would benefit? Yeah, how does that make any sense?
I don't know.
I mean, not only did he believe that, but he convinced Germany to believe that. That's some tough shit to do. Like, to, when you think about that.
That's pretty nuts.
Yeah, you just, in Germany, I believe, who was the guy before Hitler? Like, there was, in World War One, I believe it was like the Kaiser, right?
Yeah.
The German Kaiser. I forget his name or whatever. He had some type of name. But he was, he was a general of sorts. And that was, I really don't know what happened exactly in World War One. That was something different, not related to like Jews and shit like that, right?
Started thinking that someone killed like the Archduke of, I forget which country, but
yeah,
that's what started.
Yeah, it was something like the Austrian and some Austria.
Austria.
Yeah, Hungarian, yeah, Austria-Hungaria or some shit like that. And that some guy killed another guy and then they blamed it on Germany or whatever. I don't know exactly what happened. But that caused the Treaty of Versailles to happen. And then that led to Germany being basically embarrassed on a world stage, not having, like, they couldn't have a military, they couldn't do anything. And then Hitler came in and started to empower people, basically, to, since they were embarrassed in that way, they said, we can't just sit here and live life like this. We have to have a military. We got to do this. And they started, I think, invading Poland. Was that the first one? I'm pretty sure it was Poland. And then I forget, it's either the UN or the thing before that. The Woodrow Wilson developed it. I forget what it is. But the nations came together and they saw that Poland was being invaded and they realized that they said, okay, this is a warning. You can't invade anymore to Germany. They said, you can't invade anything over that. And then they did it again. And then they said, that's another warning. And I'm looking at this like, you guys tried to, there's a treaty of not having a military. You guys could have stepped in during that point and tried to end it, like, or try to end their progression, but then it escalated to the point where their military kept on getting better and better and better. Like, they had the best planes, they had the best tanks. Like, Germany was, had such a great military, even though, like, somehow they didn't have as many resources. Like, I don't know how they got the resources to build this shit, and then they kept on growing, and eventually it caused a bunch of shit to go down.
Yeah,
and luckily, like, a lot of people's lives were lost, and I mean, it's the number can't even be imagined. Like, it's millions. Like,
I don't think anyone can accurately say how many people died.
God knows how many, but yeah, you look at that, and I think sometimes we forget, or we lose our gratefulness for. Like, that's what I like about history is, right now, like, current is, like, to me, this is the best time in history. Like, right now, this century, or, like, the past 10 years or 20 years, however long, it is the single-handedly the best time that's ever existed. It can't be, like, because the information is so easily accessible. Communication, anybody can communicate. There's not a single time in history that anybody has
alive.
Yeah,
I'm not complaining.
nobody has experienced that.
Yeah.
Like, nobody except the people that live here now.
Yeah.
And then we look at people like our grandfather, like our grandpa, Dada, and he's lived through so much that, like, he's seen the changes.
He was born in 1833 before India was even independent.
Yeah. Dude.
Oh.
And then, yeah, he lived through World War II.
He said he doesn't.
Yeah, he doesn't remember it because he was a kid.
You said he didn't like.
He probably heard of it. Really. Yeah.
In India, at least.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons India is independent, right? It's because of World War II.
Yeah, because England was broke.
Yeah, they couldn't afford to hold on to India or like pretty much a lot of their colonies that they had. And then, I mean, that's the only country without an Independence Day because they basically ruled everybody else. they ruled them.
Yeah.
Every that's country true. Mostly has an Independence Day. And that's to England.
Mostly to England. Damn it.
What do you think of the amount of stuff they stole is, like, in the dollar figure? What do you think it is?
I don't think we even have a word for that. For that number. With inflation, we don't have a word for that number.
Really?
Yeah, it's probably over a trillion. It's trillions.
Jeez. They just took, I think they have the diamond in that they stole from India. They put that shit in a museum, like for everybody to see, like that this is what we stole here.
This is what we stole.
I went there too. Like it's in some palace or really? Some,
I'll have to check that out.
I don't think it's in the Buckingham Palace, but it's near Tower of London, like the, or that bridge, like Tower Bridge or some shit.
Oh, no way.
It's near there.
Yeah. And I'm trying to go to England in December.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Are you going to hit a lot of places?
Well, I'm trying to go with like a couple of friends. We want to watch Cristiano play back at United.
Did you see that first game?
I did not. It was at like,
yeah, I didn't see it live.
Our time, so yeah. Did not wake up for that.
I didn't know he was playing. Like, I thought it was, since it was, I think it was his first game back, right? And after signing, they usually don't start those new transfer players.
It's Ronaldo. And
that's Ronaldo. He's like, Ronaldo. Yo, I'm playing. I'm in tip-top shape right here.
Yeah, he's in the best shape of his life, probably.
And he's going, like, He scored
two goals.
Two goals
his debut.
Damn.
So
that iconic. First one was in between the goalkeeper's legs, right? Like that.
That was the second one. The first
the deflection
happened. Yeah, and then the second one was just like
that through ball and then hit perfect it.
Cristiano Ronaldo type goal.
Yeah,
power speed.
Dude, he's been on top for a long time. When did he start again? Like. That Manchester is his first team, right?
I think he came as an 18-year-old Manchester United. He was at Sporting Spawn.
So it's like 20 years,
he
maybe.
16, he started there, and then when he was 18, he went to United. Went to Madrid when he was like 25, 26, I think.
Yeah, that's what I think where most people remember him.
In Madrid, that was he won like four championships there. And then he went to Juventus.
When he first traded, when he first like signed to Juventus, I was like, this sucks for like soccer fans everywhere.
Because I'm a Madrid fan. So, when he left, I was so shocked because we had won the Champions League in 2018. Real Madrid won the Champions League, and he's like, you know what? I'm just gonna leave.
Yeah, what do you think made him left? Like,
it was the president, Florentino Perez. He like
of
didn't like
Madrid.
Of Madrid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So now is he still the president now?
Yeah.
So he's not going back.
He owns the club.
Yeah. So he's basically the president is. The owner, or like that's what they call the owner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn. And then now,
president and owner. You can have the owner and then have someone else run the operations.
So it's like a GM type of thing, like compared to basketball terms.
That's kind of the coach, though. It's Carlo Ancelotti, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But now, yeah, it's good that he's back in Manchester. And
I know. I'm pumped about that. Yeah. I would have been more pumped if he came back to Madrid, but the Manchester one is honestly so awesome.
I know. So you're planning to go to that game?
Yeah, I do want to see a home game at Old Trafford. It'll be so fun.
I know. That's crazy. And then where else do you plan on going in that London, England area?
I don't know yet. We haven't bought our flight ticket. We haven't planned out dates. We're just like, let's go. Like,
what time? We need to go. Like, or what time of year? December, you said?
Oh, late December.
I don't know if the weather is that. Is the weather good?
I'm moving to LA January
14th,
15th.
So you got to plan for that shit too.
I do have to plan for that shit. I have to plan that beforehand.
Yeah.
Because my semester, there's two classes this semester. It ends December 14th.
So
I'm free as hell after that for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
So I do want to do some traveling.
Mm-hmm.
But I do need to plan for the apartment and roommates and stuff. So
I don't know
where in LA I'm going to live yet, but there's a few places.
Yeah. LA. LA's a weird city because it's
mad. It's like five cities.
Yeah, it's more than a city. People think LA is just like that Hollywood sign and downtown. It extends all the way to the beach and then goes to the mountains.
Santa Monica,
and then behind the mountains. Yeah. Yeah, it's more like a county of just so many people, and I think it's like 20 million ish people live in LA County alone. And the population of California is 40, like around 39, 40.
Yeah, that's like 40 million.
Yeah. So half the people live in LA, bro.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I think that's why a lot of people did move out of California. Or I think this is the first year where the population actually declined in California.
Really?
Yeah. So I think instead of 40 million, they lost like a million people, but I don't know how many came into the state. But you think after living with so many people around you, I mean, we've been to states like Colorado or Texas where it is a city, but at the same time, there's less people.
There's less people in it.
Yeah. It is crowded. Like you see the traffic and
the traffic is unmatched. I mean, I think even New York might be worse at times, but LA is constantly bad.
And there's New York, you could understand because it's like two lanes. This is a full ass 8-lane highway.
Yeah, 6-7 lane freeway. And it's still packed.
Still.
Yeah, that's how many traffic. Cars there are in LA.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Orange County can get bad too.
Yeah, dude. Everybody, I think a lot of people live in Orange County, and then of course, there's businesses and stuff
people
over
drive
here.
To LA.
Yeah, but they go to LA and then come back and
I could never do that.
Yeah, that's too much. Some people drive at like an hour, 2 hours every day, like every weekday to go to work and back. That's too much.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I mean, somebody needs to do a calculation on how many hours that is every year.
Yeah.
Because that's like a part of your life that you're just sitting
in a car
and like not moving anywhere, just like listening to music, whatever. Yeah. Fuck it, dude. That's bad.
That would suck.
But LA, there's some good spots too. It's not all bad. There's Westwood.
East LA is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like my office is in downtown and like three blocks from that. It's like Skid Row.
Yeah.
Dude, this is bad. I'm not living in downtown.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not living in downtown considering close to the beach or close to UCLA and Westwood.
Yeah, that's probably the nicest part of LA, except if you go even further down to Malibu and Calabasas.
I don't even know Malibu. It's like a 2-hour commute to downtown.
Yeah. But dude, downtown LA is probably sketchy as fuck. Like I haven't been there in a while, but
it's not where like the nice high rise offices are,
mm-hmm.
which is where I'm gonna be at, like working at. Yeah. But when did you start walking down like more east a bit,
mm-hmm.
like kind of close to USC too? It's not.
Yeah,
it's not good. Dude. Not a good area.
I believe there's about I don't want to say the wrong number, but it's like 1 million homeless or some shit. I don't know if that's the right number, but
I believe that's a shit ton. But yeah, I believe it.
Dude, it's insane. Like, and they're trying to do shit, but at the same time, like low income housing and stuff. There's like no space in LA.
Yeah, affordable housing development is non-existent right now, or it's very very mm-hmm. slow in LA.
Yeah,
it's happening in New York. Like Brooklyn's getting some affordable housing projects.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta as well. Chicago, even Chicago's packed as hell too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of these cities are getting it, and which is good, but at the same time, it turns into like a population hub where there's a point where a city has too many people, and especially with what we have now, like the structure of it was, I don't know exactly when it was developed, but probably in the 50s and 60s of they estimated, or like how the buildings are and how we use street lights and how the road was constructed, that was probably meant for maybe like 5 million people, 10 million people, right? Now you add 10 million plus onto that, now it's fucked. Like you need to have
Mumbai.
that's probably the worst. That's 40 Mumbai. Million or like 50, I don't think 30 Mumbai million.
30. Has like 25-ish million in Bombay.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That is not that big.
But the city that does it the best is Tokyo. Like they have an insane amount. I think they're the number
really
one population and like a number one in population for a city is Tokyo. And I mean, my dad's been there and you've been there. I haven't been there, but it's probably clean, right? Like it's clean,
yeah.
And there's don't see no homeless trash. People. You don't, like, it's just people are moving and doing their shit and they're all like
Tokyo
working together
at like 5-6 PM in, like, the downtown strip. Oh my God. It
really?
Is filled with people. Filled with people.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Damn. And then
dope though. I want to go back to
Do you like the sushi food and stuff?
Food is fantastic. I love Japanese food.
Yeah.
So
it's fun. Yeah, that Japan's a good country, man. Like, my dad's been there 3 times or some shit, and he's been talking about like how it's probably,
your
like
dad loves it.
Yeah, the clean, he just talks about how clean it is. Like
he always brings us back that Japanese the what's it called, the whiskey.
Oh yeah, Suntory.
Suntory. He always
that's
brings
good.
Us back a bottle of that.
Yeah.
So that stuff is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he always raves about Japan because it's something, and you look at different cultures and how they've advanced in a way. Like you look at India, they're lacking in some aspects when you compare it to the first world countries, right? And that has to do with a lot of things, but you look at Japan and they've had their fair share of shit that went down in their country, but at the same time, they've just rebuilt in a different way. And,
yeah, 100% true.
You know,
they've rebuilt in a different way. That's a good way to
put it. Yeah, like their politicians, I guess, are not corrupt. Not corrupt.
India. No. Bribe cops in India.
Yeah.
That would be a crazy experience. Bribing a cop in India.
Yeah. I don't think nowadays it's as... maybe it is. I'm not sure.
Maybe it is. I don't know.
Maybe it is. Who knows?
I don't live there, man.
Yeah, we don't live there. We've been there a few times.
I've been there 4 times.
Yeah. And I think the only way you could get around India, unless you're like an adventure traveler, is if you know people. Like, if you don't know people, like, you're fucked, bro. And it's like hard. At least we know Gujarati, which is the language in Gujarat.
Yeah.
It's not the the main language of
Hindi.
Of India.
I understand pretty well, but
yeah, I can't speak it fluently. But yeah, if you don't know anybody, you're kind of fucked. But there have been people, like I saw on YouTube, these guys or this person just going into the slums of Mumbai and shit. He lived there for a week and ate food there, ate like all the street food and stuff, and he was fine. So if you're built like that, then then you're good.
I don't think I could do that. I get sick every time I go to India. Every single time.
Yeah, I remember, and you had to take four Tylenols.
I was popping Tylenols like candy when at Chirag's wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that was crazy.
And then, yeah, you were just like chilling in my room. I'm just like down coughing. Terribly. Like,
yeah.
A fever.
Dude, the medicine.
And I popped like 3-4 Tylenols at once. You're just like, oh, you're gonna die. I'm like, I'd rather die at this point.
I know. Did it even help like that much?
It helped.
Okay. That's good. After like, if you take the recommended amount for US, it won't help. Like, you gotta take double that.
I had
to
rally too. I did.
Yeah.
Like, we had to take care of so much stuff because we're the ones like kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. There's a bunch of shit. Like, there's the mosquitoes. Remember the mosquito net you had in your room? That shit was. You gotta have a net in a hotel, bro. Like, I'm not talking about camping.
That was a shitty ass
I'm not
hotel.
Talking about like camping outside in the wilderness. It's in a hotel room.
That was that was probably like the best hotel in that town.
Yeah.
And it was the worst hotel I've ever been to.
Yeah, dude. My brother was talking about it, like how on the side of the street there's just like people living there. Like, even Rithik was talking about, he's like, don't you remember that on the left side of the hotel there's just like homeless people like living on the side in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you saw that right next to like a hotel, right? Yeah. So
that hotel was atrocious. We stayed there for like 3-4 nights.
Yeah. the best part about that, or in that city, or like the best place to visit, I guess, is the Udipi like restaurant. To me, that was a good restaurant.
Good.
That was probably the best restaurant out in that in Valsad.
True.
Yeah, we went there every day for like breakfast and shit.
Because
there's nothing else.
I did not want to eat at the hotel. The grimy ass food.
I think we ordered soup that one time.
Right when we got there, too. We're just like, yo, we're starving. It's like 4 p.m. We went up to the restaurant. We ordered soup, and I was like, this is disgusting.
Yeah, they put some shit in that. That restaurant is good. Indian food in general is good. Like, Indian food's underrated.
Know how to cook. That's the thing too.
Yeah. Indian restaurants over here don't know how to do it. Like,
some of them are pretty good that I've tried, but a couple of them not really good.
Yeah, I mean in England they're good though. Like if you go to London shit, they have some pretty fire Indian restaurants.
Tamarind. It's like bougie Indian place.
Yeah.
In England. Looks amazing.
Yeah, I think chicken tikka masala is their like national dish. Or
national
some
dish.
Yeah. For England.
These British people. Oh my god.
They took everything. They took the culture. They took the food. But that's I love Indian food because there are some aspects to it where I don't think most people would, like, you look at that or some shit like that and you think, or like mug, and just by looking at it, I don't think most people would eat it. Like, it looks different.
It looks not good.
Yeah, it looks not good.
Yeah.
And so there are aspects to it where it's different
food,
and culturally.
Yeah, sometimes the food doesn't look
but it tastes good. It's probably the best seasoned food that you could get. Like, there's that. There's I think that Mexican food's a little bit like that, but Indian just has so much variety in the spices.
So many spices. Yeah.
Like, that I think that's one of the reasons like people went there, like Columbus, I think, was trying to go to India, right? Like, this motherfucker just kept going straight, though. He couldn't. His map was off.
It's America. Yeah. You know, let's call these people Indians.
Yeah. I know. And, like, I would think I'm looking for spices, right? And I go there, and if I don't see spices, I'm turning around. This man just, like, so started to...
Tobacco plants and shit.
Yeah. He's
like, yo, these are spices. Smoke.
Yeah, dude. If I... Like, they sent him to... I think they sent him to India, right? Like, that's what is...
I think so.
I don't think his first thing was to go to America or, like, to, like, New World or any of that stuff. So, he was trying to go to India, which... And in that time, you... So starting from Spain, you had to go all the way down to Africa, like the tip of Africa, and come all the way back up. Like, that's the route that you had to take. And so I don't think that many people did it at that time. And so I guess his map or his geography of the world was off, and he just kept going across the Atlantic and hit somewhere in the Caribbean, Florida region, and then eventually all the boats and all the shit started to colonize these people that were just living there. Like, they Native Americans are probably the most, like, resourceful and sustainable culture, right? Like, when you look at it, they didn't have much. They just, like, farmed and took care of the environment. And then these people come in, cut down trees, cut down forests and everything, build houses. They're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, if you look at a map of, like, the United States, mm-hmm. in, like, the 1600s, and, like, the amount of trees and, like, forests and mountain ranges, the amount there was, like, in, like, a highlighted map,
yeah.
Then, till now, only, like, 10% of it is remaining.
Really? Yeah. 10%? Damn.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah. And that's not even a long time ago, like, 400-500 years ago. Yeah. And that much in such a short amount of time. And I mean, there's pros and cons to all of that. Like, of course, the geography and the trees and shit get taken down. But if we didn't take them down and we didn't come to, like, take over the United States, basically, and all the shit that happened, we wouldn't be here with the United States we have now, you know? So it's crazy to think how, like, shit that goes wrong actually ends up being good in the long run. Mostly every time, like, you look back in history and shit happens like that. But yeah. But what were we talking about? Indian food, right? Like, we were talking. I was like, we went to Columbus. yeah, the Indian food's good. And it's probably, like, the healthiest shit.
I think my favorite plate to get at an Indian restaurant, for any people who don't know what to order, mm-hmm. at Indian restaurants, get chicken korma.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. It's like a creamier sauce with the chicken.
Yeah.
It's super good.
Yeah, and then naan. Get garlic naan. Don't get that plain-ass shit.
Like, plain naan is good, too.
Yeah.
I like
but it's the flavor, naan. The flavor and the garlic. Is better, especially with restaurants over here. Like, I don't know about maybe in England and places that do it better, they have good plain naan and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, yeah, Indian food in general, though, like, it's pretty healthy compared to everything else that they, like, other cuisines. Like, American food, you could probably put that at the lowest shelf. Like, it's like the most unhealthiest shit. But in America, they have everything. Like,
yeah, they have all
types. Yeah. And that's what makes it this country, like, amazing, is the freedom to do that. Like, you, in a lot of countries, and probably there's more countries that allow that freedom than they're not, but there's still countries that don't allow certain cultures that are suppressed. I mean, you'll get the Middle East and shit
not
like
even
that.
Like, not allowed. They just don't have the resources.
Yeah.
Like, if you go to, like, a small country, a small island country,
mm-hmm.
like, they're not gonna have, like, fucking cheeseburger joints and
They're not gonna have Chinese food.
They're not gonna have sushi.
Yeah.
So that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then
you have so many options. Yeah, right here in Orange County, you can get any type of food.
It within 20 miles, like it's insane, and that freedom is important, I think, because without that, like without this diversity that we have, we wouldn't. I don't think we would progress as much, like, because to me, I'm used to the diversity. Like, we're both used to it growing up in classrooms with all different types of backgrounds, ethnicities. Like, we didn't give a fuck what, like, religion or whatever it was. Like, we were just kids, and that's all we grew up with was that diversity. So I'm grateful for that aspect that we don't have to deal with, like, training ourselves to, like, love different people, like different people that have different backgrounds. Cause I know our parents, like, I don't want to like expose them or some shit, but they do have like some like
conceived
beliefs, notions and beliefs about people. And,
They grew up with just Indians. Mm-hmm. That's all they know.
Yeah. And they were taught and their environment was to believe that these other people, they're not the same, like they're different than you.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know? And the Indian,
it's like Gramps when he comes here, he's like, every time we try to go out, he's like, oh, just be careful. These Americans, they're bad influences. I'm like, no, stop.
Yeah, they just see the world from a different perspective and not an enlightened perspective. And of course it's more on their environment than who they are personally. Like that's how what's impacted them the most. But I mean, in India, for example, they have the caste system, right? Like they used to have that where there's different castes. And our parents still talk about that shit, like Kshatriya or not Khatri and all these Brahman and all that different shit that they probably have that in history books too. Like they teach it, but they still talk about that. And I keep on telling them, like, you shouldn't even focus on these different classes. This is human beings, like you're talking about. Like, why are they, just because they were parents to, or they were sons and daughters of this person, this random person, like
they don't belong in a certain environment. Yeah.
They were just born.
They don't get to associate with this caste.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
That's insane, bro.
Oh.
That's what wars are fought over, like shit like that.
Dumb shit.
Dumb shit. Dumbest shit, bro. Ignorance, bro. That's all it is.
Yeah. I agree.
Mm-hmm. And like, I hope people are, I do know that people are starting to understand that more because of the internet. Like they're seeing different people and understanding that not everybody is like that, like stereotyping certain people just because one person did it or one group of people are like that, that everybody's like that, you know? And it's important to look at that and understand your bias, right? Like you might look at somebody and perceive them to be a certain way. And instead of looking at them for what their your perception of that certain group is, you could think of it, like think of them better than that. You know, like that's what I try to do with every single person is I never look at someone for who they are. Like they might be talking shit about me, but I try to always think of them as a better than who they are, because I know that it's just some perception that they have that might fuck with them. Yeah. So then instead of shitting on them, and I think Martin Luther King said something like, hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. Yeah. So, and it's true. Like you try to battle fire with fire and it never works. Never. Like you have to do it with compassion and empathy. Like that's the best, or that's the only thing that solves it. Yeah. Right. It's not violence. It's not hating others and trying to make other people feel worse than they are. Like anytime, and even it'll work in like ordinary situations, right? Like you might be doing a task at work or some shit, and if somebody, and you might not do it to the best or that they're expecting you to do it, and that person, like your supervisor or boss or whatever, who's there to guide you, he could, or he or she can bash you for what you've done, like tell you that this work sucks, whatever happens, like this is terrible, or they could support you and look at it from a different angle and say, okay, this needs to be worked on, but we could do it together. And how much of a difference that makes in the end result of a product. Like if you could threaten someone to do something and they won't do it as good as if you encourage someone and support them.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, yeah. That's insane.
100% true. Mm-hmm. Like, my boss, if he was like being an asshole and saying like, why'd you do all of this wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Do it again. Turn it to me by the end of the day. Or like be encouraging and say, oh, we could do it together.
Do it together. That makes all the difference. Like literally in any position, like even with family, even with friends, anytime. And of course with friends, like you goof around and you say dumb shit all the time. It's good. But when you're with somebody and you understand how they're feeling, what their emotions are, and you're able to lift them up because you understand that, and it not only makes them happy, it makes you happy to know that your friend or your coworkers, like they're happy and they're succeeding, you know. Like that's the best part about it, is that understanding. And like most of this shit like that I'm saying right now is from that book that or How to Win Friends and Influence People, like I told you. Huh?
Dale Carnegie.
Yeah, Dale Carnegie. Yeah. And like I said it before in another podcast, but that's like one of my favorite books because it literally shows you a different awareness of how to deal with people. As literally is all it is being able to understand how human beings work and how to get the best out of them. You know, you could either threaten them, and it's a learning curve to be able to not only read it, but also use use the principles in that book. And it's pretty good. What books are you reading right now, you think? Or are you reading any?
Yeah, I'm reading this book called Straight to Hell by John Lefebvre. He's this Bond guy. He used to work in New York and Hong Kong as well. Mm-hmm. He worked on like high yield structured bond deals, structured credit deals, and it's basically like a book kind of illuminating Wall Street culture.
Mm-hmm.
And like what it was like back then. It was in he worked in the 2000s. Throughout the 2000s, he started in 2000, ended his Wall Street career in 2010.
What was the biggest difference
It's just more like it's fucked up.
It's fucked up.
a lot of the stories he tells, like it's very cruel and like kind of inhumane hours. Mm-hmm. and the workplace culture is very kind of it's more collegial. It's hardcore. That's the phrase. It's more hardcore. I would have personally, I would have loved to work.
Really?
Because I would have loved to work in that time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I kind of enjoy that hardcore,
stricter
environment.
Yeah.
Environment, because I feel like you learn more and it's more fun.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, it's not good for like society now, because that's just not
how
the workplace culture should be. But I think I would have enjoyed it for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of people like that, though. Like Steve Jobs, I know, is notorious for like not treating his employees right.
I can see that.
Yeah. I mean, some people say he had to be like that or else he wouldn't get his vision across, like this new idea of the iPhone, or like he was a genius in a lot of ways. And of course, he could have handled shit better, like everybody can. But I mean, who knows what if he was different, would shit be the same, you know? Like if he was a different person. But yeah. Yeah, what were you saying about the book?
Yeah, no, it's just like, he just tells a lot of stories about what the environment was, what the culture was, and he sometimes like walks through like deal structures and those phone calls, and it's for me it's really interesting because I'm going into kind of that field.
Yeah, the finance world.
Exactly. And so he's a smart guy. He's hilarious. He's he's like a kind of like comedian.
Yeah.
His
way awesome. Of writing and shit.
His way of writing is very, very, very funny.
Yeah, that's good. I love books like that where it engages you more than just like stating the facts or whatever.
Yeah. I literally, I read like 8-9 chapters at once.
Really?
That was it.
Yeah. So I want to talk about that, like the finance world and shit. Like, first off, like, what is it? Like, what is finance? Because like, I don't, or like, to explain it to people, like, in depth, really, is like, what do most people in finance
services industry? Yes.
Yeah. What do they do in like in the global things? Because I know it's bigger
many different roles, but like,
yeah, it's bigger than just like, in the U.S., like there's a bunch of companies and
the movement. The finance world basically controls the movement and deployment capital of cash, you know, throughout the world. It's very essential to the economy. I think, you know, working in the industry, you kind of have to know how the global economy works, how economics works, the movement of cash flows is really essential to, you know, everyday life for everyone, right? And the finance industry basically, in short, controls the movement and deployment of that capital.
Okay, so
that's basically it.
Just
stock market controls is a bit different, I money. Guess.
Like the control of money, like through different hands of people. Yeah. And so that, like, what the corporate world, like most of the corporate world is around finance and shit like that, right? Or
not really. There's like, the corporate world is so like massive. That's like, it's such a, the corporate world is like advertising, marketing. It's also, I would consider accounting. Kind of accounting.
Yeah.
Even what's law? It's corporate.
Yeah, corporate law. Yeah. So a lot of different aspects of that.
There's so many different aspects of the corporate world. Like, I think the U.S. probably has the largest corporate presence out of any other country.
When did that start, you think, like the corporate industry? Because I know for a long time it was more like small businesses running a lot of shit, and then there was monopolies of a lot of certain people that ran a lot of shit. So during that time, like during the progression of that and the ending of monopolies, there are more corporations that started to develop.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? I mean, it started probably during the industrial revolution.
Late 1800s.
Kind of when companies started to get larger. And
more people in
industrialization
cities.
Industrialization kind of made profits much larger as well. So companies could grow a lot quicker. That was kind of the start of it. Companies and corporations have been around forever.
Yeah.
Like, you could even call like governments companies.
Because everything's a business, really. Everything people
it's all
do.
Transactional.
Yeah.
The government needs tax revenue to operate and provide us with infrastructure, roads.
Yeah.
Sometimes healthcare. So
The government, though, like most people think that they take too much. Like, do you agree with that? Like, it's
probably they don't spend it as wisely.
That's the biggest thing. That's the biggest shit. Like, even in the state of California, I forget it, the exact amount they're in debt, but it's pretty insane to look at that figure of how much debt there is.
Broke.
Yeah, they're literally broke. And even the government is in trillions.
They borrow so much money.
Yeah.
The state of California borrows so much from private institutions.
So like the finance or...
Yeah, like, you know, investors.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, like,
so the people that have the money,
financial institutions that aren't associated with the government, they
lend them money,
capital to the government at an interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
But they have been trying to pay it off for decades.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. I mean, the reason I think they're, like you said, they're in this debt is because they just don't know how to spend it. I think governments aren't run. If they were run like businesses, the government would do better. Because in a business, you're not trying to lose money. Like, so you make smarter investments that way. Like, if your business is on the line for something, you're trying to make as much money as possible. But the government, I think the people that work there, they're more like, we're the government and we print the money too. Like, we don't have to be as careful.
Literally print money.
Yeah. So they're not as careful with money as a business is, like, in that aspect. They just spend it and they think that they could always borrow more. And so,
because they can.
Yeah, they can. They don't give a fuck. Like, there's no incentive for them to profit and to break even.
The government, you know? Treasury bill, the 10-year treasury bill. If you invest in treasuries, right, it's mm-hmm. considered risk. That's it's the 10-year treasury bill. It's in the finance world. It's called the risk-free rate.
Okay,
that's what they use.
So, is it
so? If
the interest.
Say you invest in stocks, right?
Yeah,
and that's like an 8% return.
Mm-hmm.
Treasuries are usually 1 to 2 to 3%
over how many years? Like
every year.
Every year. Okay.
Yeah. 8 to 10% stocks, because it's higher risk,
mm-hmm.
but the risk-free rate, that fluctuates because it depends on the government's, you know, printing the money and where the rates are going, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the treasuries are right now, I think they're in between 1 to 2%.
Okay. How much are they? Is it lower than that usually or higher?
It's around there.
Around there? Okay. So what would, like, as somebody who understands finance and shit, like, what would you invest in, like, with the knowledge that you have?
I would never invest in treasuries. I would,
but in general, like, in general, like.
Yeah. I mean, there are very risk averse kind of investors out there, like institutionally,
mm-hmm.
they allocate some of their portfolio, like a couple percentage points into treasuries,
mm-hmm.
As kind of
like a low risk type of thing.
Kind of risk aversion tool,
mm-hmm.
But it's not common to put a lot of money into treasuries,
really.
From a portfolio standpoint, mm-hmm. like, investors aren't going to put 20% of their of their portfolio into treasuries, because it's not a good idea. Like,
mm-hmm.
you can put that money elsewhere, get a much higher return. You can put into real estate, you can put into stocks and bonds.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that's
fixed income products?
Why do you think real estate and stocks are more profit heavy? Like, what makes them a better
higher risk? I mean, they're more volatile.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot more work to analyze them,
mm-hmm.
as well. And so stock is, you're buying a part of a company.
Yeah.
That stock is going to go up depending on how well that company does.
Mm-hmm. Or that's what they say. Like, cause we look at GameStop.
GameStop. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're goddamn they, store that no one goes to anymore, and their stock is going crazy. That was
an exception.
AMC as well. Was that earlier this year, right?
Earlier this year, I think, when February
COVID was like bad.
Still. Yeah, yeah, it was.
They weren't even open, right?
AMC wasn't open yet.
They were closed, and there's no one to pump this stock.
That was crazy, though. Like, it was a bunch of Redditors and just people in general that
they saw that this hedge fund was taking on a big short position. They wanted to bet against the stock.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, fuck these hedge fund guys. Mm-hmm. Let's pump it. So they
so the more people that buy,
hundreds of thousands of people to buy and pump the stock price up, and they made the hedge fund lose billions of dollars.
Yeah,
like that's like almost patriotic.
I know that is.
I love that.
I know.
I honestly love that.
I was cheering for them because when you look at it, the hedge funds and shit, they would have made like. You know what they're always, most of them are like always in business. They're doing their shit. They make good investments. But to the, like your average Joe that wants to have a few thousand dollars, right? Like these guys are coming in there like Robin Hood saying like, if you invest your money in this, we'll give you like $2,000. If you, depending on how much you invest, like invest at this time or pumping it here. And then just sell it at this time and then you'll make money. So from an average person's perspective, they're looking at it as a few extra bucks they could have. You know, it's not like like a long-term investment for them, you know. They're not looking at it as so, and it's pretty much guaranteed too. Like they found some like crack in the loophole where if they find a way to get all these people together and buy it at the same time that the price will go up. You know, who would have thought? Like, I never expected that shit to happen. Like, everybody to buy. And people bought, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth. Like, people were spending that much on GameStop, you know?
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
The people who, like, are struggling financially already should not be investing in GameStop.
Yeah, definitely not.
But, hey. Do you? No, but yeah, going back to we were talking about like
real estate stocks. Yeah,
it's
better
it's,
investments.
It's a much more risky investment, but the return is also there. So yeah, that's it's just because it's much harder to do. And stocks have a lot more risk
for real estate. Like I was always curious, like these big investment companies and stuff, what is their involvement in real estate? Like do they just buy buildings or like they put up forth money to
which company?
Like any company,
investment
like,
firms or
in general, like
well for the most part companies in general, like say we're in an office right now. This is not owned probably by the tenants, right?
Yeah,
it's developed and it's acquired and then developed by an investment firm that invests in real estate properties. That's usually how it works.
Okay, like
they acquire, they build, they develop the property, and then they put tenants
because they have the capital to do that. Like they put forth the money and then
they usually get capital from investors. The larger funds do. Blackstone, Carlyle, they raise billions from investors
who like,
and then they deploy that capital into properties or companies.
Are these like investors people that are like have companies or they're just like they're random people or?
Pension funds.
Okay.
Other
is it banks
funds,
like or not banks?
Banks usually won't really invest in funds. I mean, the banks usually won't invest in private equity.
Okay.
But they raise capital from investors. Yeah.
Okay.
from people, other institutions, pension funds. So, yeah, that's how they get their capital, and then they deploy that into, say, real estate or infrastructure or bonds,
yeah,
other structured products. And so going back to the real estate example, they'll develop the property, and once the property is, you know, done,
mm-hmm.
they'll put tenants in. Those tenants will pay rent. That's how that investment fund will get the return on their investment, and because of property appreciation, the value appreciates,
the value of the land and the value of the building itself. And that's, I think, real estate's, especially if you have the money, it's probably one of the best investments to make, especially in this country.
It is,
because the land, it always has appreciated over time. Like if you own something, especially in a good area, it will always appreciate and increase in value. So no matter what you have, like some people just have like plots of land with nothing on it, and it still goes up in value, depending on, of course, the location and stuff. But
people do that. Like that's, there's this investment firm that's based out of Newport.
Mm-hmm.
Their whole strategy is literally just buy empty plots of land and develop on that. It's more capital intensive. It's more expensive to do that,
mm-hmm.
because you have to take account to ground up. It's called ground up development.
Yeah.
You buy a plot of land and then you develop on that. And then once that whole development is done,
mm-hmm. and it could be like different things like offices, but it could also be homes and
golf courses.
Yeah, golf courses. Literally everything that's on land, they just want to develop homes, something.
Hotels.
Yeah.
Retail. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
you look at places like, maybe Dubai wasn't built like this, but people who, people who had money started developing shit on there, and they own the land, of course. And so
Dubai once Holdings developed a lot of Dubai.
Yeah. And so
it's called Dubai.
Okay, so it wasn't like the royal family people.
It was them.
Like they were the investors, I guess, that had it. And so, you look at that example and you see buildings and the more infrastructure you build, the more people that gravitate towards that certain area. And
I don't think I'd ever live in Dubai.
I wouldn't either.
It's just so foreign to me.
Yeah.
But it'd be really cool to visit for a few months.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah. I know Rithik's roommate, he lives there, so mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a dope place, but the investments in real estate, like there's, do you know who Grant Cardone is?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like he
invests in, I'm not a fan of him really, because he sounds like such a fool sometimes.
Yeah. But I know that,
and he overprices his like real estate courses as well,
mm-hmm.
and his trainings, they're not that great.
Yeah. I'm not looking at that shit. Like I'm just thinking about like what he does in general. Is like he does a lot of real estate development.
There are so many developers that are a lot more advanced than him.
Yeah.
They're just not in the public eye because they don't go on fucking Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a ton of developers that do what he does.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah.
So how do you think he does it? Like instead of a company, like he has his own company, but it's not as big as
capital.
It's not as big as maybe some of these other firms that could do a lot of different. But does he do the same stuff?
Like kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
He doesn't really do a lot of development. He just acquires properties and then finds tenants. But they're the biggest developers are like Hines, who else, Blackstone does development as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are plenty of big firms in that the US
that run shit.
Great developments.
I mean, without them I don't think like you could
Silverstein Properties.
Mm-hmm. Like you wouldn't have that.
My office tower, the U.S. Bank Tower.
Oh, the U.S. Bank Tower.
Which is what I'm be working in. They developed that.
Damn. Yeah. I mean, literally every city had to have people or companies like that to develop. Like, you need to have some type of infrastructure to do that. And it's insane to see, like, I'm of course, like, we're just talking about it on a general level of what happens in there, but like they're probably really sophisticated in knowing like where to develop, what to develop, and like they do a bunch of research to make sure that it's as profitable as possible. Like, they have people hired to do just that, you know.
Exactly. That's kind of what I want to do in my career path.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun.
Yeah. Real estate.
Yeah. All right, we're hour 15 in, so should we wrap it up or you wanna?
Yeah, I mean, if you have other questions,
there's no questions. we just talked for an hour 15 based on like nothing, but. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, we didn't plan any of this.
This guy, last week, he was like, I want to come on the podcast soon. And I was like, all right.
Last week. Like, you were at my house last week. And I'm like, yo, I should come on. You're like, yeah, sure.
Yeah. And then so this week we're here. It was fun, dude.
Like, we can talk a bit about like recruiting if you want. I try to help a lot of people doing like job recruiting for my industry. I'm helping my brother right now, and then I help a few other friends on really what it's like to do recruiting in a very competitive role. And basically, like, I think using LinkedIn is the biggest tool.
Yeah. Nowadays,
I got my internship at the bank, at US Bank, last October. I interned there this summer. But getting that role was getting even an interview with a company that doesn't recruit at your school is tough, because you have to reach out to people.
Yeah.
Cold call, cold email them. I reached out to this analyst at the bank a few months before, in like August, and I had a chat with him, and then he referred my resume to HR, and then I had a call with HR, and then I had a call with an associate, and then I had a call with three directors, and that was the final interview.
Damn.
So it's a very long process. Kind of going off that, just overall getting experience, getting internships is essential if you want to work in the corporate world at all. I think it's a fantastic experience to kind of apply what you've learned in school, or some of the things you've learned in school, into the real world.
And it shows like that if you actually enjoy like doing this shit,
you find out stuff. Like, you, I interned at like four or five different companies before this. And I found out I didn't really enjoy the work as much as I do with what I'm doing now.
And that's the only way, is like trying and seeing if it works or not.
A lot of people like don't know what they want to do even when they graduate.
Yeah.
So it's essential to, you know, not just, you know, party in college, or not just do school in college even. Not like, don't just do school and then work part time at like a restaurant. If you can, obviously some people's situations are a bit different. If you can, try to do a bunch of internships, right?
And that's, some are paid as well too, like, right?
All of
like,
mine were all paid. Of them. Actually, except the first one. That was with an agent who covers housing. It wasn't really a job. It was like a job shadowing thing.
Okay. Yeah. So that, yeah, for people who want to go into the corporate world, and like LinkedIn is probably the biggest tool right now. Like, just DMing people.
LinkedIn is one of my favorite apps to go on. Call me weird, but I go on LinkedIn a lot still.
A lot. Yeah. And okay, so you said like cold calling and like messaging them. How would you go about Like, what would you say?
Well, I didn't just do it alone. I got help from my older friends who, are in the same industry as me. They helped me craft like email templates, and now, you know, I have a perfect like cold message template on LinkedIn. I have a cold emailing template that I've used in recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal is basically to reach out to someone that works at a place that you want to work at, and you ask them if they want to get on a call with you, and in an introductory call, maybe 5 to 10% of people will respond.
Mm-hmm.
That you even emails, because people are busy, they don't have time to chat. And the people that do have time to chat, you get on a call with them, you tell them about your story, to tell them why you want to work in the industry, and you ask them questions. You get to know them and their role, and then the goal is to get them to help you get a job there.
Yeah.
That is, and learning how to do that is a grind.
Mm-hmm.
I did
it's
it. A, for like
it's
eight,
mostly like
nine,
trial
10
and
months before I was even good at it.
Yeah, trial and error of like what works or what sounds better, what people like might use or other people have used that works for them and shit. Yeah.
No, 100%. It made me a much better communicator. It made me more able to talk to adults, people who are older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And it just allows you to grow as a person, as a whole. Like, you learn so much,
mm-hmm.
just asking people about their roles. So that I think was a great experience.
Like, yeah.
Recruiting was really, really hard, but it's, you learn a ton.
You learn a lot. Yeah. And that's probably the biggest thing.
My advice would be to anyone who's trying to work in the corporate world in real estate or finance or, advertising or even
anything,
software engineer, whatever you think.
There's pretty much every company is on there, right? Like, that's public or pretty much every company.
Yeah.
So wherever it is that you feel like you want to work at, you could, and most people that are on LinkedIn, the people that work at the company, you can message them and reach out to them.
Yeah. So my advice would be kind of do work really hard in trying to figure out what you want, what type of role you want, because there's thousands.
Yeah. Self-awareness.
Know yourself. And once you kind of figure that out, really try to get internships and experience outside of school in that field, because that'll help you out exponentially once you graduate. A lot of my friends are still looking for jobs and still looking for jobs that they don't even know if they'll like. That is problematic, and I wouldn't say it's problematic, it's just
it could have been avoided.
You could have done this when you were in school
and
gotten these experiences beforehand, but now you have to go through this trial and error, and you've used up a lot of time early 20s where you could have really just got your career onto a hot start, which is what I'm really trying to do.
Because once you get that first thing, then it just allows you to build up even more. Right, it builds momentum.
Started my job in January.
Yeah, in LA, it's gonna be fun. I'll visit you, and I still need to visit Rithik. And
dude, yeah, we should go up to Santa Barbara soon.
And then my brother is now going to SD, so I'm gonna be traveling a lot.
Yeah,
yeah, it's gonna be fun though. Yeah, that's good, man. I think that'll wrap it up, and hopefully you guys. You guys enjoyed it, and it was a fun conversation, bro.
It was.
Yeah. So, thank you, everybody, for listening. Peace.